Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share ideas and strategies. I talk about things that I did that worked, but also those big epic fails that I learned from. I interview experts, and all because I believe teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And one of the things that we like to address on this podcast is AI. What does it mean to teach authentically, to engage in the creative process, to empower students with voice and choice in an age of generative AI? And that's a topic we are gonna tackle today. In particular, what does it look like to be AI resistant in writing? And I wanna say that I've also written about and had a podcast episode that was all about how to be AI integrated in writing as well. But today we're going to talk about AI resistance. And before we get there, I just want to say, if you have not done so, you can follow me on social media. I am on TikTok. I am on Instagram. My Instagram is at Spencer Education. Same thing with my Facebook. I have a YouTube channel that is SpencerVideos.com. And if you go to SpencerEducation.com, you will find at the bottom of my website a little spot where you can sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get all of my best stuff sent every Thursday to your inbox, except for the few times I decide not to send anything at all. But for the most part, I do, almost every single week. So without further ado, let's talk about this idea of taking or designing a comprehensive approach where we are AI resistant in writing in the pre, during, and after phases. But first, I want to start with a quick little story about the nightmare of pleasant AI communication. Initially, the conversation felt nice. The man I spoke with was patient while I described my issue. He asked excellent follow-up questions and responded with empathy, but eventually I grew frustrated. I just need to change the location for my rental car return. Please help me, I pleaded. He couldn't do so. I asked again, still nothing. I grew more and more frustrated, but he met my frustration with such a pleasant, patient tone. Too pleasant, too patient. The empathy felt artificial. And that's because it was. That's when I begged for a human on the other line. An imperfect human, someone who might not match my frustration with pleasant, but could actually potentially listen to me. In many respects, this verbal exchange between me and a chatbot was a dream. This pleasant AI chatbot was patient. He was eager to help. He had a great tone. He was easy to understand. You get all the ideas. He was positive. If my tone got sarcastic or angry, he simply wouldn't care. But is that really what we want? Do I want to become the kind of person who feels free to just lose my temper with no consequence because I know there's not a real human on the other line? And do I want to interact with someone who doesn't actually demonstrate empathy? I've been thinking about how pervasive AI has become in our communication online and even in some cases sort of in person, like on the phone. I don't want an AI summary of my Instagram direct messages with friends. I don't want that. I don't need that. I don't need AI rewriting my emails to be less direct and more professional and verbose just so the other person can read an AI summary of my emails that's a little bit more direct. What I actually want is something more human, more distinct, more real. I want authenticity. Which leads me to a kind of counterintuitive thought. With AI making it easier than ever to generate content, I actually think it's more important than ever that our students become great writers. Do we even need writing? I recently gave a talk at an AI in education symposium at a university. And it was a great chance to talk to professors of all kinds of different fields and ask, how is AI transforming your discipline? And how is that similar or different from how you anticipated it? I met a psychologist who said, we were worried that people would use really bad chatbots for counseling. That's still a concern. But a bigger unintended consequence was just how fast we would see young people choosing non-judgmental, positive chatbots for friends and romantic relationships rather than actual humans. We had a hunch that it would happen, but it just moved so much faster than we thought it would. I met an environmental scientist who said, I was the first to speak out against AI for ecological reasons, and I still feel that sometimes, but it's kind of mixed. Efficiencies in supply chains and crop yields have been phenomenal. It's complicated. At one point, someone turned the question back to me. She was a business professor who focused on machine learning integration within finance and also the bigger ethical implications of that change. And she looked at me and she said, do you think the essay is dead? I mean, I think it will continue to evolve, I answered. Yeah, but do you think professors will start doing oral exams? If AI can do so much of the writing for us, will verbal communication become the sought-after skill? I answered with, I imagine verbal communication will become more important than it ever has before, but I still feel like writing is going to be important. Maybe more important than ever. She nodded and said, interesting. I continued, given the sheer amount of AI slop that exists in our world, I think students will need to excel as writers in the areas where AI struggles. They'll need to become really good with authentic empathy in a way that a chatbot can only mimic. They'll need to understand contextual thinking at a deeper level. They'll need to find their own unique voice. But later, I was thinking about the power of writing for learning as well, not just the end result piece of what you write. True, students will need to find their voice and communicate in a way that is authentic and relevant. But I need to also remember that writing is important for learning. Our memory can only hold so much information in verbal exchanges, but writing allows us to hang on to complexity by creating something more permanent and concrete. When ideas stay in our heads, they slip out and they blur and they simplify way too quickly. It's ephemeral. But when we write, we can slow down and make connections, or really think through a key idea and go back to it. It becomes a kind of mental workspace where we can wrestle with contradictions and refine our thinking and make connections and do all of these things that are really hard to do just verbally. It's not that we write in order to explain what we learned. It's that we learn through writing. Okay, but let's go back to this for a second. How do we stop cheating? I was recently at a meeting with K-12 asynchronous, anonymous, they're not anonymous, asynchronous, that's the word I'm looking for, English teachers who mentioned how many of their students were now using AI to write everything. Their principal said, we need to start with engagement. Students need a reason to want to write. Now listen, I see her point here, but it's a little more complicated. Teachers have to teach specific standards and content, and not every student comes into class excited about the motifs present in a shared novel that they're reading. Also, some students are going to choose the easy way out because they struggle with focus and resilience, or they're simply not the strongest writers. If AI can offer a quick fix for them, it can be very tempting. These teachers want their students to develop a strong voice as writers. They also want their students to write their way through understanding challenging texts. But in asking the question, how do we catch kids cheating, they ran the risk of falsely accusing students of academic dishonesty. In other words, they knew that there were two options. One is make it more interesting, and the other is catch them cheating. But neither of those two would ultimately solve the problem of AI. They were both reactive. I've written before about how we might integrate AI into the writing process, and we'll often move across this continuum as we take an approach from AI integrated all the way through AI resistant. But I want to focus on AI resistance here for a moment. What does it look like to prevent AI usage before, during, and after the writing process? So let's start out at the beginning of the writing process, the ahead of time, essentially crafting AI resistant prompts. If we think about making writing AI resistant, we can take a proactive approach by crafting writing prompts that are AI resistant, but not necessarily AI proof. And that's really important. We will never be able to have AI proof prompts. Simply saying make it interesting essentially blames teachers for student cheating. If left on their own, many students are going to be overly reliant on AI to just write for them, and they will lose that ability. They'll experience what's called cognitive atrophy. Some teachers have responded by requiring paper and pencil for all writing assignments. I'm actually a fan of paper and pencil. It can help with long-term memory and information retention. It can also allow us to use visuals like sketchnoting and mind mapping. A handwritten approach is a great option when we're doing a single draft, when we're essentially doing the thing I mentioned earlier of learning through writing. We'll be exploring that later in this podcast, but I do think there's sometimes a cost to the paper and pencil approach. If we are taking more of a demonstrate what you are learning through writing, a long-term writing approach, the handwritten process can be laborious and time-consuming, and we just don't have a lot of free time in class. Most of us as educators would feel frustrated if we had to handwrite every single draft over and over again before we were finally able to type it. And why would students feel any different? But there's another approach that has both a push and a pull to it. And that's what I want to explore right here. The pull is the desire to write. Here's where the principal had a valid point. Motivation is critical. Students are more likely to write when they find the prompt challenging, but also meaningful. This is why argumentative writing works so well, by the way. Students tend to enjoy making a claim and backing it up with facts and logic. Even small differences in a prompt can lead to that increase in motivation. I tested this out recently with high school students. They were looking at the causes of World War I. Now, option one was, what were the causes of World War I and how were they interconnected? Note that this is higher order, but not necessarily opinion-based. The second was, which of the causes of World War I do you see in our world? How does this impact the likelihood of another world war? The third option was, could World War I have been prevented? Can we prevent it from happening again? And then the final option was, describe how World War I happened, include each of the causes. Note that all but the final option required deeper critical thinking. So what happened? When I tested it out, nearly every student chose the second or third option. Many of them wrote more than what was required of them. And part of this is that these prompts push students to engage in higher order thinking. They were hitting those top levels of Bloom's taxonomy. So this is a good starting point. This is the pull, right? It's going to pull you in. But I want to point out that students could easily have used AI to write their answers for any of those options. This is why it helps to craft AI-resistant writing prompts in a way that's a bit more of the push. All right, but what does this look like? We can start with interpersonal knowledge. Here, students must make personal connections to what they're learning. We can tie the question directly to their lived experiences with something like, write about a time when you faced a challenge that connects to the theme of resilience in the novel we just read. We can also focus on tying writing prompts to a specific, often local context. prompts that live in the school, the neighborhood, the city at large, force students to use knowledge that isn't available to AI. A chatbot can't read the room. It doesn't know what happened in your school or your neighborhood. And so an example here might be interview someone in our community about how our town has changed in the last 10 years. Connect their perspective to what we studied about urban development. Or in writing about the Great Gatsby, it might be, how does this novel relate to the American dream? How do you see this theme play out in our school and in your neighborhood? And what aspects confirm or contradict the core theme of this novel? As we think about this idea of context, sometimes this contextual aspect actually involves quoting conversations from class. So you might have students cite quotes from your classroom Socratic seminar or discussion. An example would be, you know, ask three classmates what they think the biggest challenge is in solving climate change, summarize their answers, and explain which one you agree with the most and why. Or you could tie it directly into the reading that you're having and have them do like a text to self connection, but actually a text to classmate connection. Or you could have students take notes and quote or summarize an interview that they did with an expert and then incorporate that into a written piece. And this can be really powerful if you do things like student journalism projects. In a similar vein, you might incorporate real-time information into your writing prompt. While generative AI has improved a lot in keeping up with new information and trying to stay up to date, there really is still a lag. If this information is local, especially, it becomes very AI resistant. AI just doesn't know what's going on in real time with your local community. And this strategy is, I realize, admittedly the hardest to pull off because it forces you to modify prompts on the fly. But it can add a sense of relevance to the writing piece, and it can incorporate contextual understanding. You know, what would it look like? It could be as simple as modifying a prompt in the third grade that connects to something that happened that day in PE or on the playground, making the connection so that they cite that and mention that. We can also incorporate an element of metacognition by asking students to shift perspectives. You can ask students to compare how their ideas evolved over time through multiple drafts and discussions. While they might still use AI to amplify it, this is something that most chatbots really struggle with. An example would be look back at your first journal entry on the Civil War. How has your perspective changed with our debates and our readings? Be specific about what shifted and why. With all of this initial approach, the goal is not simply to be AI resistant. I want to be really clear. It's about centering the writing process on our human experience. It's a focus on the aspects of writing that humans do well that chatbots often struggle with. But we need to recognize that this approach is not AI proof. It's merely resistant. Students can still use AI to generate initial drafts if they share an outline with the chatbot. So let's look at what we can do in the moment to be a little bit more AI resistant. So let's look at the process during writing. How do we help them become AI resistant? I think the key idea here is to incorporate transparency. So as students begin to write, we can take an approach that focuses on trust and transparency rather than just, hey, gotcha, we found you cheating. We take a show your work approach centered on soft accountability. So let's think about the long form process of writing. When students are engaged in the research portion of writing, we can ask them to fill out a graphic organizer by hand or to show their thinking through a sketch note or a concept map. When they create their outlines, we can have them sketch out their outlines by hand or on sticky notes and note cards that they maneuver around physically on their desk. The idea here is to take advantage of multimodal evidence. When students sketch or diagram, the work becomes rooted in what they actually created. An example would be draw two items that show how energy is used in everyday life around you. Write a short explanation and connect them to the science concepts that we've discovered. During the actual writing phase, we could go old school and have students write by hand, and certainly some teachers have done this. And this actually works really well with short-term quick writes, but if we're doing the long-form piece, that's not where I would go. I would have them write on Google Docs, require a Google Doc, and then what you have as a soft accountability piece is timestamps that you can check. And so you can see, are there large chunks of copied text that have just been copied and pasted into that document? Again, they could get around this by just copying AI-generated text from their phone to hand typing it. Sure, that's possible. But the goal is to make this a little bit more challenging through soft accountability. Then during editing, we might ask them to take notes on peer feedback. We might even print up a first draft and have them handwrite some of the corrections they want to make. And I know that this sounds old school, but trust me, this is what we do in writing. As someone who has written a lot of books, I still write in a way where I print what I wrote, I read it aloud, and I make corrections in the margins, I make notes in between lines. The same thing is true of students. Just because something is an older strategy doesn't mean we need to abandon it entirely. And then finally, when they're done with their writing, and so they've had this AI-resistant writing prompt that's high engagement, high interest, and then they move into this soft accountability through transparency. When they're done, we can also take an AI-resistant approach by actually using AI checkers. And I know that sounds odd, but just bear with me. I think we should start with a quick idea here. And this might sound like a detour, but just bear with me. Or fast forward, that's totally fine too. I think it's important that we avoid making assumptions. So I recently read an article about a professor who claims to know when students are using AI, right? And so I was like, oh, this is really interesting because I can't always tell and I've been at this for a long time. Well, for him, he says it's if they use the word moreover. That's apparently a telltale sign of AI usage. So here's what I did. I immediately went back to my oldest blog post on my blog and checked for the word moreover, and newsflash, apparently it's one of my favorite transition words. Now, unless I have a DeLorean and a flux capacitor, I don't think that I was using generative AI back in 2003, 2004. For what it's worth, I use moreover in my speech as well. I know, I'm a nerd. Similarly, I have stopped using the M dash because apparently that makes something sound like it is or look like it is AI generated. And yet, it's really frustrating for me because I've been using M dashes for years. My dissertation has a ton of them. And that's because I should probably use a comma or a semicolon. And my ADHD brain knows that I use parentheses way too often. But I love to use the M dash as like the writer's shortcut, as my go-to, almost as my default, or at least I did before it got labeled as being AI slop. It's frustrating because I love the M dash and I love moreover, and I hate the notion of making assumptions without knowing the person. I find it odd how quickly people are to just spot patterns in AI-generated text when that is precisely what AI does. At a basic level, it's a prediction machine creating so-called thoughts based on patterns in data. AI uses moreover often in academic writing. Yes, but where did AI, quote, learn this from? That's right. Massive amounts of human-generated academic writing. Shocker, they're mimicking what we do. But I actually think this points to a larger issue. In a world of so much AI slop, we have this collective desire to ask, is this human? And if we can find certain common patterns, we can avoid the machines and connect to real humans. I think that's at the heart of what we're talking about. And so it feels awful when you spend hours of writing and hours writing and someone accuses you of AI generated text. This happens all the time on like my Instagram slides. It drives me crazy. And honestly, it feels like a personal shot to my integrity and to my character. I love to write. I've been writing since I was like in the fourth grade. Every day of my life, I write. I have whole novels that I write that are never published to anyone because this is what I love to do. I feel genuinely hurt when someone tells me that they think AI wrote something that I wrote. It hurts. So on a basic level, that's what we feel. Now let's think about what a student feels. When they get falsely accused of using AI, it's harmful. On a basic level, an AI checker is using the same process of pattern recognition. It's AI trying to spot AI, a bit like Blade Runner, maybe a bit too much like Blade Runner. But the problem is, if you write in a way that's similar to the training data, or too similar to the AI process of writing, things like consistent verb tenses, formulae of writing, sharp contrast, generalities, you'll get flagged as AI. We often see this with high achievers, with gifted learners, with autistic learners, with English learners. And all of these students are being flagged for AI usage when they didn't do anything wrong. Again, it's painful to be accused. If just 5% of the writing is falsely flagged, then in a typical high school English class, you might have 5 to 20 students in a teacher's entire group that turn in an assignment being falsely accused of using AI. This is not only ruins the relationship between the teacher and the student, but it can ruin a child's future and lead to huge lawsuits. Please do not use AI checkers for punishment. So why would I suggest using an AI checker? Well, instead of using it as a punishment, teachers can use it as a diagnostic tool. They can run student writing through AI and then point out key areas that are flagged as AI generated. Students are then asked to rewrite that section from scratch, not necessarily edit the writing, although that is an option, but to come up with something new in a distinct voice and then check it through the AI checker again. The goal here is very clear. It's not to catch cheating. It's helping students develop writing that is less formulaic and that allows them to develop a distinct voice. AI tends to write in a way that is too general and too bland. I made the comparison of vanilla ice cream. What it creates is vanilla. And surrounded by vanilla, our students will need to write in a way that is unique. They'll need to find their voice. Too often students think good writing means sounding formal, generic, academic, whatever it may be. They have this vague sense of professional academic writing. And yet, what actually makes writing powerful is things like clarity and personality and perspective. It's the power of words. We can help students get there by inviting them to take risks and experiment with tone. We can ask them to curate great writing that stands out to them in a way that they might emulate. We all do this, by the way. We can ask them to write ideas that matter to them and then to revise them, not just for accuracy, but for impact. That means asking questions like, where do you sound the most like yourself? Or what part feels flat or forced? Or what's a sentence that's going to have the biggest impact on your audience? Over time, students begin to see that their voice is not something extra that's layered on top of writing. Instead, it is the deepest essence of how they write. I want to end with this thought. We will never be able to stop cheating. It's important to recognize that cheating isn't new. When I was in high school and college, certain students cheated by paying classmates to write their essays for them. Even as the technology evolved, they could still pull it off. Turnitin was a great tool for professors, but it didn't catch that kind of cheating. But with generative AI, it is easier than ever to cheat. It's cheaper, faster, harder to detect. Turnitin is not catching it. And yet we know how important it is that students develop into great writers. This will continue to be an uphill battle, but we can fight that battle proactively by focusing on an approach that is at times AI integrated and at times AI resistant. And we can focus on being strategic about how we craft our learning before, during, and after writing to be more AI resistant. Hey, would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, Amazon, I don't know, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my podcast. And if you want to learn more about AI, I covered these topics in both The Depth Advantage, which is all about deeper learning in a distracted world, as well as the AI Roadmap. You can find those on Amazon. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.